good evening. Our scripture tonight comes from Psalms chapter 47, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. If you'll please join me as we read. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
Psalm 47, rejoicing in the God of Psalm 46. So I'm going to start talking about Psalm 46, but don't think that I've got my psalms mixed up, because I believe there's a direct connection between Psalm 46 and 47. So I want to talk about that a little bit as we talk about rejoicing in the God of Psalm 46. Psalm 46, if you remember from last week, Psalm 46 is a psalm for the faint of heart. It's a psalm for occasions when our hearts might be filled with great fear. Psalm 46 is written for those who are troubled in their soul, those who are frantic with worry or concern, those who feel it, that they're frail, their faith is frail, and that they're barely hanging on. Well, Psalm 46 is given to the church to speak and sound forth the truth of who God is toward his people. And so the answer for our fears and our worries is God. Look to God. He is our refuge. That's our treasure verse. That's our fifth treasure verse for 2020. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is with us. The psalm went on to say, he is with us. He is our fortress. God is every single one of those things and more to his people and for his people. So as we said last week, God is our fear-ending fortress. That's who the Lord is for us. His sovereignty is unquestioned. It is immovable. It is unconquerable. And so the psalmist, the cry of the psalmist is, look to God. Look to God. See who he is. This is who God is. And if we will look to God, our fears, our worries will melt away in the presence of his mighty sovereignty. To be reminded that there is no safer refuge. This is who God is, and there's no safer refuge. There's no greater strength. This is who God is for his people, and there's no greater strength. There's no mightier fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. I think we're familiar with that hymn. We are familiar with that phraseology, but it's directly biblical. The Lord of hosts is our fortress, and it's the Lord of hosts. So a mighty fortress is our God. Psalmist penned these words thousands of years ago, and they were true then, and Martin Luther kind of revived them when he penned that hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, in the 16th century, and they were true then. And every time we sing them and every time we read them in the Word of God, they are just as true today as they have ever been. Our circumstances change, our feelings change, Our emotions ebb and flow. Our thoughts give and take. But God never changes. He is and will always be our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. But not only, as we pointed out last week, not only does the psalmist speak in Psalm 46, God speaks to us in Psalm 46. God directly speaks to us in this psalm in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That's quoting the Lord to his people. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations, among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, we can rest in him. We can have peace and calm in the middle of the storm of life in him, because he is that sovereign God. He is that omnipotent God that he will be exalted among all the nations. He is over every nation. He is over the entire earth. So his people can rest in him. Now, Psalm 47 is a rejoicing in Psalm 46. Psalm 47 is a result of taking Psalm 46, taking God at his word as who he says he is, and then being able to rejoice in that. When we believe God, when we look to God in Psalm 46 in the middle of our worry or our fear or our trouble, and we look to God and we find him to be our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. When we find God to be true to his word, we can not only rest from our worry, but we can rejoice. Not only rest in God as our strength and refuge and help, but then we can rejoice in God as our strength, as our refuge and help. And that's what Psalm 47 is about. So let's look at this, walk through this psalm again together, and just take to heart all that God is for us as his people. Number one, God the King is to be praised with fearful celebration. We usually don't put those two things together, but the Bible puts them together all the time, fear and celebration. So there's a fear that we are not to have, and there's a fear that we are to have. There is a fear that God drives away. That's the fear of circumstances, fear of life, fear of death, fear of men, fear of everything else that we can think of that we can fear. Any other kind of fear is to melt away in the presence of our God, who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But being in the presence of God, there is a fear that his people have, a holy, righteous fear. And it occurs simultaneous with a rejoicing in being in the presence of God. There's no doubt that God is king. He is to be celebrated with great celebration. That's what verse 1 is all about. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Clap your hands, shout, sing loud songs. Baptists have trouble with that first verse, don't we? We can't get past the first one. Clap your hands, all people, shout to God. There's great celebration. God is king. God reigns. All peoples are to respond to him in jubilant, joyful praise. We have great reason to sing loud. We have great reason to clap our hands. We have great reason to shout to God, because God is king, and he is exalted among the nations. He's exalted in all the earth. Imagine the devastating reality if God were not king. If God were not sovereign. If God were not king over his creation, if God was not exalted and above all the earth, if God was not king over our life, if God was not king over the kingdoms of this world, if God was not king over the past, the present, the future, imagine if God were not king, if he were not sovereign. There would be no meaning to life. If God is not king, there is no rhyme or reason for anything. History's going nowhere. There is no end. There is no culmination. There is no purpose. If God is not king, there is no final justice. If God is not king, there is no certainty of salvation. If God is not king, all is lost. If God is not king, there's only random chaos. If God is not king, we can only mourn. But if God is king, then we can rejoice with loud songs and the clapping of hands, because he is wise, he is good, all-powerful, all-knowing, gracious, merciful, faithful. And therefore we rejoice in him and in his kingship and in his kingdom. But there's a second part to that celebration, right? We've already mentioned that God is king. That God sits on his throne in sovereign control of all of life and all of his creation. That's a reality that is to be met not only with great celebration as his people, but with great fear, with great honor, with a reverence that is trembling, a fearful celebration. Those two things, those two responses, being celebratory and being fearful, are not at odds with one another when the object is God. Those are natural reactions from the people of God to have a holy fear of him, recognizing that my very next breath is in his hands. It's in his sway. It's his call to make. My death is in his absolute, sovereign, good, wise, just control. We can at once greatly rejoice in God because he is God, and we can greatly revere him because he is God. And that's what verse 2 is all about. For the Lord the Most High is to be feared. See, you're clapping and you're shouting and you're singing loud in verse 1, and you are fearing him in verse 2. Immediately, together at the same time, the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. So what is this fear of God? Well, it's not that we're scared of God, that he's somehow acts irrational or tyrannical or deceptive, or we're scared that he's out to harm us. The fear of God is the recognition that he is indeed in total, complete, absolute control, and we are not. That's the fear of God, to know that he is in absolute sovereign control over our lives, over his creation, and we are not. He is all-powerful. He is sovereign. We are not. His will is the determining cause of all things and not ours. The fear of God is the right recognition that every moment of our life and everything around us are in the hands of the Lord and under his sway. In fact, it would be impossible to stand before God, being God, the holy, omnipotent, eternal God of the universe, who knows all things, is over all things, from, through, and to all things belong to him, and holds all things together. I mean, we cannot imagine how awesome God is. It's impossible to stand before that God. It's impossible to come before that God without being overcome with a deep sense of awe and respect and reverence and fear. To know the Holy One of the ages and to be before Him. It's not a bad thing to fear God, but it is a terrifying thing to not fear Him. We should not be concerned if we sense a fear of God. We should be greatly concerned if we sense no fear of God. And verse 3 explains why God is to be feared. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. So it's God who is doing this work for His people. He orders the steps of men. It's God who gives the victory. It's God who answers prayers. It's God who enacts vengeance and judgments. It's God who is the victor. It's God who's moving history to the glory of His name. It is God. It is not us who is the ultimate determiner of our lives. The Bible says He knows the very number of our days, even before our days begin. He is to be feared. And then verse 4 explains the reason why God is to be celebrated. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom He loves. It's an amazing thing to think that the holy, omnipotent, sovereign God of the universe is also characterized by His love for His people. He chose our heritage for us. It's God who loves us first. It's God who saves us. It's God, not us, who has given us life and salvation and has a heritage for us in Christ. He's placed His eternal, perfect love upon us for no other reason than His sovereign purpose to love us. God loves us because He loves us. God doesn't love us because we're lovely, we're so special, we're so attractive, we're such a wonderful commodity for Him. God loves us because He loves us. God loves us because He loves. And He is to be praised. So we celebrate Him for all that He's done for us. We celebrate Him with fear because of all of who He is. And then the second thing, God the King is to be praised with continual proclamation. So not only fearful celebration, but continual proclamation. We see that in verses 5 through 7. In verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Speaking of God upon His throne, He has gone up with a shout, that's a shout of victory, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, announcing that this is the Lord, this is the King. It's interesting, isn't it, that God ascends to His throne with a shout and with the sound of a trumpet, and when the Lord descends and returns to consummate His kingdom, He will do so with a shout and with a sound of a trumpet. The shout of the cry of victory, the trumpet, the announcement of the arrival of the King. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself, not sending someone to do it for Him, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Now we're starting to get a little glimpse into who this psalm is singing about. He has been the King from the beginning. He is King today. He will be King forevermore. When the Lord returns, there will be no doubt, there will be no question, no coup, no uprising, no resistance to his reign. Because of the fact that he is the forever king, then he is to be forever adored in praises. Notice how many times in just two verses the Bible calls us now because of who God is. Because this is the God of all, this is the great king over all the earth. This is the Lord, the Most High. This is God who is sovereign over all and who overwhelmingly, graciously loves his people, who is sitting upon his throne. Because of who God is, because of all that he has done for us, then the scripture calls us to sing praises to him. Listen to verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praise, in case you didn't get it. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. The psalmist here is just exploding with command after command after command to sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Look at God, sing praise. Know who he is, sing praise. See who he is, sing praise. What are these praises? Praises are adorations. Praises are acknowledging God for who he is, declaring who God is, proclaiming who God is. That's to praise him. Right here in the scripture, it says it, right? For God is the king, verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises. See who he is and praise him. We would say, see who he is, and you can't help but praise him. That's what the psalmist is saying. You see him, you see who he is, sing praises, sing praises. Five times he tells us in two verses to sing praises. Sing praises with a psalm. In other words, sing praises with truth. Sing praises with scripture. Sing praises with the word of God. Find out who God is and see what God has done and sing praises to him. In fact, that's exactly what this psalm is doing right there in verse 7, isn't it? The first part of verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. That's the declaring. That's seeing who he is. And the last half says, sing praises with a psalm. Well, that's what the first part of verse 7 is. Psalm. For God is the king of all the earth. God is who he says he is. God does what he says he will do. Therefore, we go to his word. We see him. We trust in him. We delight in him. Yes, we fear him, but yes, we praise him with continual proclamation. And then there's God the King will be praised with universal recognition. Global, universal recognition. Verses 8 and 9. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. So everyone gathers. Everyone gathers, whether prince or pauper, slave or free, male or female, rich or poor, believer or unbeliever, we will all acknowledge God as king. And you know that passage over in Philippians 2 that I'm thinking about, don't you? Philippians 2, verse 10, every knee will bow in heaven above and on earth beneath, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because he is exalted. You see that in verse 9? The princes of the people gather as the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. That's why they are gathering. That's why they are there, because he is God. He is exalted. So before Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, there's Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, says God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him a name that is above every name. It's exactly what you see here in Psalm 47. Psalms are about Christ. Christ is King. Christ is Lord. Christ will return. Christ reigns over all. Christ will return and consummate his kingdom and sit upon the throne. He will be announced with a shout, with a trumpet call. Every nation will gather, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and his people will forever sing praises to him. You see, God is King no matter what. That's a great thing about Psalm 47. That's why Psalm 47 is rejoicing in the God of Psalm 46, because God is King, Christ is King, no matter what. No matter the raging of the waters or the mountains or the earth giving way under our feet in Psalm 46. No matter what happens in life, God is King, Christ is King. If God is only King, if Christ is only King when he fits our view or in the verses that we like or in the things that he says that we agree with, then we've got the wrong King. We've got the wrong Christ. Consequently, we've got the wrong idea of salvation. God is King forever. Christ is King forever. You know, Christ said in Luke 24 that he explained to those disciples that everything in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled in him. Christ was saying, the Old Testament, it's about me. It's declaring and singing about me.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.